Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us that great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So as we get into this week's Torah portion, you know, we are in the book of Leviticus. We are going through the instructions that Yahweh has given unto his people. And what we're going to talk about this week is some instructions that he gave Israel, which ultimately he gives unto us as well, on how we actually are to love our brothers. You know, when Yeshua was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God," or "You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might," right? And then he said, "The second unto it is you shall love your neighbor unto yourself." So we as followers of Yeshua, those who are his disciples who are being taught by him, which is ultimately by his spirit, those who are learning his ways, who have a desire to walk as he walked, our desire should be to love our brothers as Yeshua has loved us. Now remember, Yeshua was the one who was without sin. So ultimately, when we ask ourselves, how did Yeshua love his brethren? Well, number one, he fulfilled the Torah. He followed the Torah and the commands that it gave on how to love your brother. He also would lay down his life for us, which was the ultimate sign of his love for us. The ultimate love that one can have for another is to lay down one's life for another. So we see both those things actually at play in Yeshua's life. So let's go ahead and start with our verse and read that in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 9. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner, for I am Yahweh your God." So I want to pause here in this reading in Leviticus, and let's talk about this for a moment. So the first thing that we see when Yahweh begins to give his instructions unto Israel on how to love their brother or their sister, their fellow neighbor, he goes into this concept or this idea of how they are going to provide for the poor, for those who are in need. Okay. Now, Israel lived in a time where if you did not possess at this time, if you did not possess land, it was very difficult for an individual to actually have food to be able to eat. They were people who lived off of the land that they had. Okay. So in their time, in their culture and what they're living in, this was a way in which Yahweh provided for those who were in need. So when we read this passage, the question is, are we going to go in here and take this literal and apply this to our lives? Are we going to say, well, I don't have a vineyard. I don't have a large crop out in my backyard or out on my land. I don't have acres of land with tons of crop on it. So this does not apply to me. That would be to mistake or to not understand the meaning, or you could say the spirit or the heart behind what Yahweh was actually telling unto Israel, and that was for them to take care of those who were in need. The way that they did it at that moment in time was when they went out to reap their harvest, they were not to go and make sure that they picked every single fruit out of their vineyard and make sure that nothing was left behind. They weren't to double check their field. If something fell to the ground, they were to leave it. They were not to pick it up. They were actually at one spot told that they were to actually leave and purposely not gather all of their fruit. And as you also see, they were not to reap the corners of the field. So the corners were left for those who were in need, and they walked down the aisle, they picked what they saw. They were not to go back and do a double check down the aisle to make sure that they didn't forget something. They were to leave that stuff behind so that those who did not possess land, who did not have a field to go and harvest food from, could freely walk through their fields and gather what they needed in order to eat. They had access to the corners of the field, and they had access to that which had fallen to the ground and that which had been left behind as they went down the middle of their fields. So it was left behind for those who were in need. So if we are going to love our brethren, the first thing that we need to do as a follower of Yeshua is we need to have compassion upon those who are in need. You know, we read over and over and over again in the Gospels when it talks about Yeshua and what he was doing and how those who were sick and those who needed help came up to him. And it says that Yeshua was moved with compassion. Yeshua was one who had compassion upon his brethren and those around him. So to be a person who is filled with the love of God, to be a person who is a follower of Yeshua, to walk in his ways, we are to be a person, or we are to be a people who have compassion upon those around us who are in need. That can be financial need. That can be those who are sick, who need a healing. And, you know, Paul tells us to weep with those who are mournful. He says to rejoice with those who are happy. So we need to be a people who are able to meet people at their place, at their point of need. That is a part of loving our neighbor and our brothers and sisters, is being a people who are compassionate. That is part of being filled with his Spirit. His Spirit will lead us and guide us in that, and his Spirit will cause us to have compassion upon people. So let's look at a verse in the New Testament where we actually see how this plays out in Scripture, but actually in a different way, because by the time the early church had begun, things had began to shift and change a little bit in their culture, where it wasn't so much as it was at the time the Torah was given, as we read here in Leviticus. So let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. He says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levi, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So here we see, at the time of the early church, culture has shifted. It has changed. They're not so much in possessing land. They don't have a field that they can leave the corners unharvested for those who are in need to go and pick from. Time has changed. So we see here that this early body of believers who are following Yeshua, who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who have been given the same compassion that Yeshua had. So they had a compassion for those who were in need. And we see that they met that need and they showed their compassion in a little different way than what we read in Leviticus. It actually got to a point where they sold of their possessions that they had. These would be possessions that they didn't need. They had extra possessions. And they sold of those things that they did not need so that they could give money unto those who needed money. It says that they had everything in common. So they had a mindset of them all being one, of being together. And the mindset of, if my brother is in need and I don't reach out and help and treat him as myself, then what good is me having all this stuff? They were in common. So the person who had felt the need and the hurt of the one who did not have. And so he did whatever he needed to do to make sure the one who did not have had what he needed. So that is how we apply the scripture that we just read in Leviticus into our lives. It's us having a compassion upon those that we see that do not have money or have a need, and doing what we need to do. Being willing to even go to the point that we will sell that which we have in order to meet the need of that person. We see them as one with us. We are in common with that person. If that person is hurting, then we are hurting. That is the level of compassion that we are to have. And it's very interesting that when Yeshua spoke to his disciples about the final judgment that was coming, he spoke on the concept of those who gave to those who were in need. He separates the sheep from the goat. The goats would be cast into the lake of fire. The sheep would inherit eternal life in heaven with Yeshua. And when we read through that parable, the thing that Yeshua speaks of, that he separates the goats from the sheep, is the fact that the sheep, when they saw those who were in need, gave unto those who were in need. And those who were the goats saw those in need and did not give unto those who were in need. In fact, Yeshua went on to say that you gave unto me when you gave unto those that were in need. So we need to think about that when we treat others, how we treat others. Yeshua takes that and applies it unto himself on how we treat him. How we treat our brothers and our brethren has a direct correlation to our relationship with Yeshua. Let's go ahead and look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 11. These are more instructions that he is giving us in the Torah on how to love one another. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am Yahweh. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. But ye shall fear your God, I am Yahweh. Ye shall do no injustice in court. Ye shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall ye judge your neighbor. Ye shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and ye shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. So here in his instructions, he tells us you are not to steal from your brethren. So you cannot say you love your brother while you yet steal from him. And this even deals with the idea of dealing falsely with your brother. Or you could say lying, as he says, lying to your brother or tricking your brother or even deceiving them to gain something from them. These are all behaviors that are sinful, that are of the world that basically you could say are rooted in greed and hate towards your brother. To lie to one another, to steal from one, to deal falsely, to not deal truly, to be fake towards a person, all that would be the work of the enemy, not the work of the Holy Spirit in one's life. When we are filled with His Spirit and He puts His Spirit inside of us and He circumcises our hearts by His Spirit, He begins to lead us and give us the desire to not want to steal from our brother, to not be fake with our brothers in order to gain something from them, and not to lie unto them, to be a people of truth. That is what it means to love your brother, to be truthful to them and not to steal or to take from them, okay? But it actually should be the other way. To love your brother would be willing to lay down your life for your brother, right? So you're not going to take from your brother, but you're willing to give unto your brother. Now, we also see here, he talks about the wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you. So to love your brother is to properly compensate those who work for you. And you should pay them on a timely manner when that wages are due. That is what it means to love your brother. An employer who does not properly compensate their employees, who does not pay them on a timely manner, is not operating in the love of God. They are not loving their brother, but instead they are doing the exact opposite. To have compassion upon a person, to love a person, to do what is best for another person, you would compensate them and you would do it in a timely manner upon when they need it for the work that they have done unto you. You're not going to oppress the person who's working for you. You shouldn't lord over your employees. You should be a pleasant boss, a pleasant one whom they love to work for, whom they love to serve. If you go back to the Torah, how it talks about the bondservant who loves his master and is willing to stay with his master, which is a picture of Yeshua. He is the good master who we are willing to serve. We put ourselves under his authority because he loved us and he is that good master. We as employers are to be the same way. We are to be that good master. That's what Yeshua was. He was the good master. He didn't rule and with oppression over his disciples or those around him. But they had a desire to be with him. They had a desire to serve him and to walk with him and to be taught by him, to walk in his ways. It's very important. He talks about not cursing the deaf or putting a stumbling block before them. So do not take advantage of those who can be easily taken advantage of. You know, the world will do that. The world will see those who are easily able to be taken advantage of, that they can use to get the next step up on the ladder or to get a little farther down the road where they're trying to go. They will take advantage of those people. Do not take advantage of those who are in a less fortunate spot than you are in, because you will receive a punishment for that. That is not love. That is the exact opposite of love. So we're not to slander our brothers. We need to watch what we speak and say about our brothers. Even if they have wronged you, we need to learn how to forgive them and not expose the wrongs that people have done against us. When someone has wronged us, we confront them. If they choose not to correct their behavior, then we move on from that relationship. But we do not slander that person. And in fact, in slandering that person, we're doing the very opposite of what he talks about later. And he says, do not take vengeance, but leave it in his hands. So we just leave it in his hands. We can move on from that relationship while still blessing that person. To bless a person and to pray for your enemy does not mean you have to remain in that relationship. And even Leviticus states that we are not to hate your brother in your heart. So even the Torah brings it to the heart, as Yeshua would say. If you hate your brother in your heart, then you have already committed murder in your heart. Yeshua takes it to the heart. So the whole idea in Leviticus, as we read through these instructions of how he tells them of how they are to love their brothers, we can begin to see the concept and the idea. And the main concept and idea is that we are not going to participate or do any kind of behavior that would cause harm unto our brothers, that would intentionally harm our brothers. But we're going to think about that which would be good for them, that which would be edifying unto them, that which would build them up. And those are the things that we're going to focus on doing when it comes to our brothers. Being truthful with them. Being a person who gives, not a person who takes and steals. Being a blessing unto our brother instead of being one who is hateful and stealing and taking from our brothers. And watching what we speak of our brothers. Do our words about our brothers bless them, or do they curse them? Are we blessing them or are we cursing them? So it's all about our heart. You know, Yeshua died upon that cross. He was resurrected on that third day so that we could be set free from our sinful nature, because that our sinful nature desires to do the very things in the scripture that we're told not to do. Our sinful nature desires to want to take from people. It's greedy. It's envious within its nature, in its core. That's what we're born into. It's hateful. It wants to seek out for its own. It wants to speak evil against those who have done us wrong. That is our flesh. But see, Yeshua died upon that cross, and to those who believe in him, who have been redeemed, who are no longer underneath the power of sin, but now we are free to serve Yeshua and walk in his ways, Yeshua circumcises our heart. So he takes that old heart out, because with that old heart, we could never love our brothers as we ought to. We needed a new heart in order to love them. We need a heart that has been placed in our heart by God. We need a soft, tender heart that is open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because as we walk this thing out, we're going to mess up and we're going to miss the mark. We are going to need to be able to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when it says you missed the mark right there, you messed up, you need to do better next time, you need to do it differently. So we got to have that circumcised heart that has a desire to love people, because his love has to be placed inside of us if we're going to love others. We can never love others the way we need to love others unless he has first put a new heart inside of us. We can never accomplish it upon our own. Let's look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 and what Paul says about loving one another. He says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in these words, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, what is Paul saying here? He's not saying that the law is done away with. Yeshua said what? The second greatest command, love your neighbor unto yourself. What Paul is saying here is that if you love your brother, if you truly have the love of God in your heart and you love him, to the point where it says love does no wrong to a neighbor. So you are living your life in a way where you're saying, I will do no wrong to my neighbor. And if you do no wrong towards your neighbor because the love of God was within your heart, then you will fulfill the law, because you will fulfill the things that are written in the scripture. You don't have to go around with every single commandment of the Torah memorized, where it specifically tells us what to do on how to love our brother. Because if you just have the heart and the mindset that you will do no wrong to your neighbor, ultimately you will find yourself fulfilling the law. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So here John is telling us, let us love one another, for love is from God. In order for us to have this love, to fulfill the law, to fulfill the instructions of how he has told us to love our brothers, we have to have this love that is from God, because God is love. The very essence of his Torah was given because he loves us, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. Just as a parent who loves their child gives instructions to their children to protect them from harm, he has given us his Torah to protect us from harm. He loves us. That is why his Torah exists. It is one way that he shows us his love. The other way he showed us his love is in the fact that we as sinners could not uphold the Torah. We sinned. We fell short of the mark. We needed forgiveness of our sins in order to be restored into a rightful place with him. So he sent his only Son into the world, that by him dying upon that cross, by him laying his life down for us, we can live through Yeshua. His love can live through us. He could put his love inside of us. We could be restored to a proper relationship with God. And we could have communion with him. And he desires to do that which is good unto us. He has no desire to do harm unto us. He puts his love inside of us. And so if we are of God, if we have a relationship with God, if his Holy Spirit is living inside of us, then his love should live inside of us. Which means that we should be walking in his love. People should see his love inside of us. People should be able to look at us and say, that person truly has a desire to do that which is good for others and not to do harm unto others. And it's by his Spirit, his love, living in us, that his love is perfected in us. His love has to be perfected in us. And that's what we do every day. We are walking in our walk. As we go down this journey, we're perfecting his love. We're perfecting how we love our brothers and how we love our sisters, where we are doing no harm unto our fellow brethren. That is being perfected by him and by his Spirit inside of us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So John goes on to say that if we hate our brother, but say we love God, we are a liar. So it's impossible for us to hate our brother and also to love God at the same time. I spoke of this earlier. The way we relate to our brothers here on earth has a correlation to our relationship with God. If we are walking in hate with people, then ultimately we may say we love God, but we don't. We actually hate him. If we are loving our brothers, if we are doing no harm unto them, we seek no harm unto our brother, to do no wrong unto our brother, thus fulfilling his Torah, walking in his commandments, then what are we? Then we are one who loves God because we love our brothers. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So here, Paul is talking and brings it to the concept of when we're loving our brothers, we even need to love those who are our enemies. Those who persecute us, those who curse us, who speak evil of us, who do wrong unto us, who sin against us. He says, bless them, do not curse them. So we are to bless them. We, as people who are filled with the Spirit of God, are to be those who speak a blessing, not one who speaks a curse. We are not to avenge ourselves for our sake, but we are to leave it in his hands. We even are to go to the point to where if we see that person who is our enemy, who has done us wrong, is hungry, then we should feed them. If they are thirsty, then we should give them something to drink. Because in this process, we are heaping burning coals on their head, meaning we're adding unto the judgment that God's going to bring unto this person for what they have done unto us, unless they are to repent. Now, the question is, do we feed them and give them something to drink with the purpose of hoping for this judgment to occur? Or is the idea and hoping and believing that that person would ultimately actually repent so they would not actually have to receive the vengeance that would come upon them? Ultimately, that should be every believer's desire and heart. If you have Yeshua's compassion in your heart, that would be your desire. Remember what Yeshua said when hanging upon the cross. He says, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. To those who had just persecuted him, to those who had just hung him on a cross to kill him, he says, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We are to love our brothers as he has loved us. Look, our sins are just as responsible for him hanging upon that cross as those who physically put him upon that cross. Yet he has chosen to forgive us. His heart's desire was for us to repent, to have a relationship with him. So do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeshua was the ultimate example of that for us. Let's look at John chapter 13 and verse 34. Leave you with this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We, as followers of Yeshua, as his bride on this earth, as those who call ourselves the church or Christians or whatever you want to call yourself, followers of Yeshua, what will set us apart from the rest of the world? What will people see in us that people will say they are disciples of Yeshua? When Yeshua makes his statement, he doesn't say, they're going to know you're my disciples because you keep the Sabbath. He doesn't say, they're going to know you're my disciples because you keep the feast, because you eat a certain way. No, he says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. It's ultimately going to come down to how you treat one another. Because there are plenty of people out there who keep the Sabbath, who keep the feast, but they're not loving their brothers. They're filled with hate and they're walking in hate. And the world sees that. And that's not attractive. That's not salt unto the world. That is not light unto the world. They just see themselves in you. So ultimately, they just see religion. They don't see the love of God. But when we are people who truly learn what it means to lay down our lives to our brothers, to the point where we have a desire to do no ill will to our brothers and even those who are our enemies, that is going to be the thing that is different from everybody else. It's how we treat those who hate us. It's how we treat those who speak ill will against us. It's our desire to do no harm unto that individual that will cause us to stand out and be different. And by that, they will know that we are his disciples. Because by that, they will know that God's love is in us. Because we cannot do that unless we are filled with his love. Any person can set in his mind to do any kind of religious activity and to appear and look holy. But not any and every person can actually walk in the true love of God towards another unless they are filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God is reigning in their hearts. So if we want to be known, if we want to be the salt unto the world, the light unto the world, we need to be a people who truly knows and learns how to love one another. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back and join us. And shalom, y'all.